All right, let's go around the NFL here in loop on Sports Radio 610. And the question of the day was like, how do you get your confidence back? I do wonder if just stealing off on somebody is one of those, because apparently we have our first fight of Texans training, like real fight.
Yeah. Real fight.
A Texas training camp. And go ahead and guess, 713-572-4610. Who do you think were the participants in the first real fight of training camp? I'll try and give people a good 45-second head start.
I would have gotten it? I would have gotten it.
You would have gotten one of the participants.
I would have gotten one of the
and
participants.
And it's easy to get there, right? Yeah. Like, we've seen both of these gentlemen, in fact, in fights as Texans here at various points. But it ultimately comes together. We get a little bit of spiciness. And as I mentioned, one of the guys on offense is getting his groove back in a stellar way is number 86 of your program, Dalton Schultz, fighting on the other corner, in the blue corner. The safety, I believe he is number 45 this year, Russ Yeast. Mm-hmm. And this makes so much sense. Like, this makes all the sense in the world. 25. Why did I say 45? 45 is EJ Speed, but 25. Yeah. Somebody said Schultz and Sting. Somebody said CJ Gardner-Johnson. He actually
kind of.
He shows up a little bit. Because can you now give me the reporting that you've seen from the various feet on the ground, or boots on the ground, of what happened between Dalton Schultz and Russ Yeast?
It said first real fight, so they were mixing it up. It was Dalton Schultz and Russ Yeast. Apparently Yeast hit him pretty hard or took him to the ground, and they
gave him infection.
They mixed it. Remember, Dalton Schultz was the one last year. Was it Derek Stingley?
Yes. Correct.
And Stingley pushed the mess out of him, too.
Yeah, and apparently remember – Dalton Schultz kind of ran right at him. Well, apparently Dalton Schultz kind of ran right at Russ Yeast. And apparently there was some sort of, I guess, near whatever you want to call it, mix up, dust up, where Dalton Schultz put CJ Gardner in a headlock.
He said, I'm tired of this belt to ass stuff.
I think that's it. I think that's a factor.
Well, look, I think for one, Russ was the guy who was in that little dust-up that was not fully a fight, but looked like it almost became a fight at one point during practice here at Houston Medical Center training camp site or what have you. So I wonder if he might just be a little bit of a jerk. Like, you know what I mean? And, of course, I don't say that as a judgment, but he might be that guy that gets under people's skins, because it did feel like that was what was happening then, and I could easily imagine that's what's happening now. On top of that, you mentioned the belt to ass. These safeties have been talking a good amount to the tight ends. And I know Dalton Schultz is a talker himself. He might have just gotten to a point where he was just like, I am done abiding this.
And it's perfect timing in terms of what do you do to gain your confidence? You start throwing hands, man. You start throwing hands.
All right. But and look, I am very much always here for laughing about fisticuffs. It makes me laugh. And yes, shout out to the 713, CJ Gardner-Johnson and Schultz. You were very close. You had two.
Yeah.
You had like one and a half of the participants, because I don't know how far we can put CJ Gardner-Johnson within this. But for Dalton Schultz, like last year you had that. But then when you get to the season, you don't necessarily see that same passion, that same energy.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have confidence that you see that kind of translate in a different way for him this year? Because, I mean, I gave him a lot of credit. I don't know if you heard his availability from Saturday.
Yeah.
Felt like he took a little bit more accountability for his season. And it seemed like he is in a better space headed into this year, especially with Kaylee and, you know, the tight end, background that he has and the ways in which he can kind of divulge tips and tricks for his tight ends. I'm hoping that this energy that you're seeing here is not just, you know, him being frustrated, but that it shows up in the way that he goes about things, especially when you talk about the energy and effort that he gives, let's say, blocking and those types of things on the field.
I think he definitely is more confident. Now, look, the offense, we know, has just been struggling mightily and mixed bag, it seems like, today. We'll get a report from Sean and others as we move along here today. But I think he definitely has more confidence in his blocking assignments, and I think that was the frustration last year. They put him on an island against some of the best defensive ends, every defensive end that he faced in the league. So I think he's more confident that way, but he's professional enough to take accountability. But I do think I do believe that this is, he's had enough, and he's a veteran. He's one of the more experienced guys on the offense, definitely one of the most experienced on this team now. So I think he's like, hey, we're not going to take it anymore.
Yeah, we're not going to take it. Yeah. Yeah, I need that fire and passion to show up for Dalton. And I think that would be good for the fan base, because people were getting after him last year because of a seeming lack of that fire and passion. Mm-hmm. Let's translate this to every week on the football field. And I think that people would be a lot happier with Dalton Schultz, just in a general sense. So, a little bit of a first actual factual fight out there at the Greenbrier. I imagine maybe it was just too hot down here to get in the fight. So they're like, hey, man, yeah,
I don't want
to
work that hard.
Come on. And then we might have to run afterwards. Especially, yeah. Did you see Brian Schottenheimer have his team run because they was fighting too much?
Yeah, that was a little silly, but I guess whatever works.
Some other things around the NFL. Let's actually kind of keep it around the AFC South. As we're getting depth charts, we talked about the Texans' depth chart. Mm-hmm. Some of the notable things, Damian Pierce slides in as the second running back behind Nick Chubb. Remember, Joe Mixon is on the non-football injury list, so he's not showing up on the depth chart right now. Christian Harris, who him and Damian Pierce did not seem like they got involved in practice, but they were off to the side. Both of them are active, though, when it comes to like a designation on you know, rosters or what have you. Mm-hmm. Christian Harris, still a backer for Henry Toutou. So he is ahead of EJ Speed on the depth chart, which I found to be interesting. Those were kind of some notable things. And Ariante Ursary listed as the starting right tackle on the depth chart right now. But if you slide over to Jacksonville, some interesting things happening when you have the two-way player du jour that they're trying to get out there in Travis Hunter, the rookie, who has been switching pads, you know, and everything during practice to obviously get the different jersey colors. As of right now, he is listed as a first-team wide receiver and a second-team cornerback. How'd you receive that? Because I was a little surprised to see that, to be completely honest.
Maybe a little, but it as I thought about it, it made sense. I mean, it would be something to list him as the first-team cornerback and the first-team wide receiver right out of the chute. I do think he's getting, obviously, as we know, a lot of reps at cornerback. He's going to play a lot. It's going to happen. It is definitely happening. He's going to play. Clearly, he's a starter on the offense. I think he's going to get a lot of snaps on the defense. It just makes sense to me.
Yeah, it's funny because I think if you were to talk about his progress as a player, he is further along as a cornerback.
Probably.
And more polished in that way. And also, they have more of a need at cornerback. Mm-hmm. But he is such a talented, like, just raw wide receiver. However, you look at where the head coach is and where he's calling players, and that's Liam Coleman on the offense side.
Yeah.
And I think that they'll probably look at it as, but we would much rather have him affect the offense while also then maybe getting some burn in the defense. Of course, still early on, there's preseason to go through, and that might still work for him to actually be a starter on both sides. But very interesting to see just the early, you know, kind of designation of what he looks like.
I think it's going to be sort of the reverse Deion Sanders. Deion Sanders took every snap on defense and a lot of snaps on offense. I think it's going to be the reverse of that. Like, when we need you, you know, with the third down conversions, I mean, third down and distance and all that, passing downs, he'll be out there.
Yeah. So, regardless of where he plays, he's going to get worked out when he plays the Texans. I'll tell you that for damn sure.
Yeah.
How about this? Other things that are happening in when it comes to depth charts. The Indianapolis Colts, who I believe they're playing on Thursday. So, that's more football to look forward to. But who's going to start at quarterback? The depth chart won't tell because both Daniel Jones and Anthony Richardson are listed as starters. It is Anthony Richardson or Daniel Jones on that first line for quarterbacks, which that can't bode well for Anthony Richardson, can it?
Well, my first thought on this is, what is this? North Texas State, North Texas University, or University of North Texas, Sam Houston State, whatever. This is a college thing, man. This is so college. So-and-so or so-and-so. Running back so-and-so or so-and-so.
We don't want to make that decision, and we want to tell y'all yet.
Just, it was doing that here at one point.
That is correct.
Yeah, who
that
was
is true.
Doing that? Tell me the name. Give me a name of who was doing that.
I won't say. I would not say.
That is so Bush. That is so Bush League, man. The NFL wants you to have a starting lineup for a number of reasons, and a starter. Do it. So that's the first thing that I thought of. Like, don't be so Bush League. Just name someone out there. Who's getting the most reps? Who's getting the start? You know, in your most significant preseason game and moving forward. That's the first thing I thought of. The second thing is, I'm so glad I'm out of that business, man.
So
I am so glad I'm out of that business.
So good to be out of that business, indeed. No, I do find it interesting. And maybe look, it's worth considering that Anthony Richardson was dealing with that shoulder injury as well. Mm-hmm. But it is such nasty business that he is actually in a real life competition with Daniel Jones, a dude who we know what that is.
Yeah.
We know who he is and what he is. Mm-hmm. And you're in a real life, there is no sliver of light between us battle with him. Yikes.
Yeah.
Is what I have for them.
Yeah.
Yikes. Some other things that are happening around the NFL. This was interesting to make note of. Actually, I shouldn't mention this first because, of course, the Texans will be playing the Minnesota Vikings in their very first preseason game. It does look like J.J. McCarthy Per Kevin O'Connell, the head coach of the Vikings, will indeed be playing on Saturday. And I imagine he's also the starter in that space. Yeah. But yeah, excited to see what that young rookie will bring in this, because look, we haven't seen what he is. We've seen Justin Jefferson basically, without saying it, say, hey man, he's a rookie and he's got ways to go. So they're going to get him out there. They're going to give him opportunities to play.
I think they like him, and they're not playing games over there in Minnesota. They're going to give him a shot. I do think the Texans, especially offensively, are going to play a lot of this so-called starting offense, and they should. So it should be pretty fun. This is going to be a pretty significant preseason game as they go.
Yeah, and of course, just – I think the big thing for me is, and look, it's not going to be the full iteration of the Brian Flores defense. Nobody brings out all the bells and whistles. Just seeing this offense for the first time against somebody who is not the Texans defense will be insightful, even if for a few drives when it comes to the first team. Some other things. I saw this and I was just like, again, I think we're just looking at the down bad Olympics in this around the NFL, because the Cleveland Browns, come on down. They have added quarterback Tyler Snoop Huntley to their roster of, what is it? What was it? Five quarterbacks to begin with?
Yeah, five, including Deshaun Watson.
How's he doing in camp?
Who, Deshaun?
Yeah.
Is he hell in camp? If I know.
Is he in camp?
They don't even want to show the man. Yeah, Deshaun got to be the one to post his own damn pictures.
Yeah, the sick behavior that way I saw. And by the way, I have good company in this take. And J.J. Watt also believes that this is nonsense. But the Browns got a QB stat tracker going where they actually have completion percentages during training camp for Flacco and Pickett and Dylan Gabriel and Sanders. And I'm like, do you have no shame?
Let me say it again. I am so glad to be out of that business right now.
And J.J. Watt, and he made a great point, obviously pointed to something that we talked about with Matt Burke. Mm-hmm. You have no idea what they're working on in individual drills and what they're, you know, individual periods, what they're attempting to do. So the idea and the incompletion is not the same as watching in a game where we know the intention is to complete the pass in a very particular way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think that's insane. But they add Tyler Huntley to this. And it's not just because they don't believe that these guys are doing well. Apparently, they're dealing with injuries. I know that Dylan Gabriel was dealing with an injury. Shador Sanders himself also dealing with injuries.
Kenny Pickett,
that's right. Hamstring. That is just, oof. Yeah. Like, you already have a whole bunch of mid and all of the mid is hurt?
Yeah.
Yikes.
So how many do they have, like, legit? Six?
Six.
They have six. So they, obviously, we mentioned Deshaun Watson, but he's not going to be given a real shot to do anything.
He ain't playing.
No. Joe Flacco. And then you have Kenny Pickett.
Who's hurt.
That's three. Who is hurt. Dylan Gabriel, who was a third-round pick for them. And then Shador Sanders, who's a fifth-round pick for them. And now, welcome to the largest quarterback room in all of the National Football League, Tyler Huntley.
Good gracious. Wow. Who are you pulling for, Cleveland? Who are you pulling for? Who is this? Flacco?
No, I think everybody pulling for Shador, to be honest.
Yeah.
Well, if you look at their depth chart, it does line up like the way that we talked about it. It was Flacco at the very top, Kenny Pickett second, Dylan Gabriel third, and Shador Sanders still showing up.
A lot of people, I kind of keep up with, a lot of people are complaining a little bit about Shador not running with the first team at all.
He hadn't thrown a lot of interceptions and everybody
else because I think Dylan Gabriel been throwing – more with the first team than Shador.
Yeah.
So it's that whole, oh, you're not giving them a chance and all that stuff. Yeah.
But he is getting reps. It does. I was looking at a rep count. I can't remember.
Yeah,
I
saw the same
there.
Thing. Yeah.
It might have been Zach Jackson of the Athletic out there. And he was getting a decent amount of snaps, including like additional reps. But of course, who you're getting snaps with always matters as well.
Salute to that stat tracker.
Are they even going to have an opportunity for the cream to rise to the crop? Because it doesn't feel to the top. It doesn't feel like they have enough to go around for all these guys.
They almost have to make a call here in the next week, right?
It has to. Like, you have to start trimming this down.
Three guys. You know, have three guys, let them battle it out.
All right, a couple more things I wanted to mention. This was a small player-for-player deal, but it's weird to see those at this point of the season. The Eagles acquired cornerback Jacorian Bennett, who has not been a bad second-year player, from the Raiders in exchange for a name that you might be familiar with, defensive tackle Thomas Booker.
Mm-hmm.
So he will go to the Raiders. But the Eagles doing another one of these things where they have, you know, a excess of players. They have a surplus in one place, and they get a pretty damn good player on the other side. Jacorian Bennett, as I mentioned, has been pretty good. I was looking at like his passer rating against last year, and I believe that he was in the situation where, like, over the season, it was like an 86.7 passer rating against, which is not substantial. Now, if you actually broke down the games that he played in versus the Bengals and the Chiefs, tore him up. against the Rams and the Steelers, did a fantastic job. So, you know, like, again, it's different variations, but at this point, to add a player that seems like has an opportunity to really contribute, this is why Howie Roseman is very good at his job. However, to localize it, it did make me think, is there a surplus that you have, like, or a surplus for deficiency, and maybe not the deficiency in knowing who the player would be coming back, but like a position? Is there that for the Texans right now, or how good do you feel about it? What is it for you?
Safety.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they've got a pretty deep safety. Obviously, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, Kalen Bullock. You got Jalen Reed.
And he's been pretty good, but he hasn't been J-Rock in his, like, demonstration.
M.J. Stewart, early. Russ Yeast, and Jimmy Ward.
Okay.
You know, maybe someone would want to take on someone. One of those guys, maybe.
Oh, so I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about that as deficiency. The depth
that
there.
They could be the Eagles in this case.
That's interesting.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And get something back.
Okay.
You got six safeties that all of them have experience. Well, except for Jalen Reed, have experience and can play.
That's a fair point. Yeah. That could be. Now, of course, I don't know if Nick Caserio would do it that way. And honestly, the most likely circumstance at this time of year in general is always trading for like a pick, as opposed to trading player for player. But again, I think it was just an interesting way to look at the idea that they've done a good job of stacking this team with some depth, especially with the rookies. I think a number of the rookies showing up. I can't think of a rookie that hasn't had some level of good performance thus far in training camp, which, of course, salute to Nick Caserio. But that makes it even more so. Gives you a little bit more of an opportunity to possibly utilize that to make your team better in the now or maybe even in the future by adding future draft picks. And finally, you know where we're going to end this, where we always end this, by giving you an update. I was like, come on. I know damn well you weren't on a day off out here. Like, I wonder the top 157 is
had.
We're getting even further, right? We are actually getting into the 40s of it all. So I did mention yesterday Baker Mayfield was 50. Mm-hmm. And I think somebody tagged us. The NFL Network put up a graphic that seemed to indicate that there might be 8 more quarterbacks coming on the top 100. It makes me feel even more confident CJ is up here.
Oh, it make you feel more confident?
Yes.
If there's eight, or they might have just put a graphic up.
They might have.
But if there's 8 spaces left, then I would agree with you that CJ is definitely up there.
So I mentioned yesterday, Baker Mayfield was 50th. Quinyon Mitchell, the cornerback for the Eagles, 49th. We now get your top 100s of the day. Of course, these are voted by players. Number 48, linebacker for the Vikings, Jonathan Greenard.
How about that?
And then number 47, a man who might not be on his team for too long, wide receiver for the Miami Dolphins, Tyreek Hill.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's another hot and heavy rumor out there. We'll see.
It should be. Like, they've done the thing to rebuild that team where they've taken the O-line and tried to make it more substantial. And they've changed some of the other things to make it so that they have a little bit more or a little bit less finesse, a little bit more strength, because what's the problem with them?
Yeah.
They get to when it's cold, they're going up to Buffalo, they're going out to St. Louis, or it's not St. Louis, to Kansas City, and they're having, you know, real issues at that time of year. Beef it up. Yeah. Except, you know what doesn't, you know what's not beefing it up? Tyreek Hill.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Right. And especially with the ways that they're going back and forth with him and the head coach, it might be time to just be like, hey, buddy, moving this thing along.
Yeah.
Moving this thing along. All right. That's around the NFL here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get to this, because there was a profile on Laramie Tunsil done in the Washington Post, and Chris Strasser, former offensive line coach for the Texans, gave a lot of quotes that seemingly lead to the idea that Laramie Tunsil was not the problem. But what if he wasn't the problem? 713-572-4610. Let's examine that next.